host, TJ Buffenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. We're here live just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan, in the Engine Pro Studios. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving, and we're going to get things started right off the bat tonight. My first guest recently announced that he will be rejoining the World of Outlaws Tour and making his second appearance on the show this year, Tim Kading. Tim, thank you for taking time out of your busy holiday schedule coming up to join us.
No problem, you know. That time of the year where kind of everybody's just hanging out and, you know, relaxing. And we were supposed to go over to Australia for a few months, and that kind of fell through because of a slight conflict with the dates at the end of the year over there and the beginning of this year. So, you know, it's looking out to be a good year. We still got two trips over there for the Classic and the Cricky Boys race, and go have some fun.
And so you will still get a chance to go to Australia, but let's talk about the deal with the World of Outlaws. You just came off an amazing season where you ran an outlaw schedule, picked up a ton of feature wins, and have parlayed that into a full-time outlaw deal. Was that the plan going into the season and coming back to the Midwest and running some of the bigger shows, is to maybe get a good litmus test on whether the team is ready to go back on the road or not?
You know, that's definitely difficult to say with, you know, Dennis and Teresa Roth, you know, our performance throughout the whole year. You know, we had a few bad nights in there where, you know, our weekends where we don't want to look back at those. But, you know, I think our overall performance throughout the year, just, you know, through everything that went on, good, bad, we worked through it and got back to where we needed to be and right back in the hunt every time we, you know, thought we were going the wrong way, we turned around and came back the other way.
And when did you and Dennis and Teresa sit down and have serious discussion about going back out on the road full-time for 2014?
You know, it was actually just a Sunday afternoon. I was actually hanging out, and it was actually right after Charlotte, the Sunday after Charlotte, and Dennis called, and him and Todd Ventura decided to, you know, tell me that they're planning on going full-time next year, and, you know, it's definitely, you know, an awesome, you know, ability to be able to go out and enjoy racing, but, you know, with Dennis being wanting to win every night, you know, kind of definitely puts a lot on my plate to, you know, try to have the same season we did last year.
And because you guys are a California-based team, how differently do you have to approach this coming up for an upcoming run with the World of Outlaws? Because your shop in California is not going to be as handy as some of the Midwest shops. So as a West Coast team, how differently do you have to prepare for a full outlaw, you know, effort versus a Midwest team?
You know, I think the biggest thing is just, gear up, you know, being able to go to Florida in the beginning of February kind of helps us out a little bit, be able to get some stuff to Indianapolis, area. We're, you know, in the process of looking for a shop there or in the surrounding area of Indianapolis. So, you know, we're just trying to make sure we have everything in a row. You know, we want, you know, enough cars throughout the year where we don't get stuck in a bind like we did last year, and had to take a little bit of time off to regroup. So, you know, if we go out and destroy a couple cars or have a bad couple weekends, we will have, you know, cars accessible to us and just try to build a shop back there that has enough stuff to, you know, carry us through the season and make sure we have the capabilities of running through, you know, throughout the year.
And that's one thing that amazed me about last year. You ran real well, but I remember at one point talking to you where you were out here and the parts were starting to get kind of slim. You were kind of wondering where the next front axle was going to come from and stuff because the shop was in California, and you guys had a couple of tough nights, and all of a sudden, uh-oh, we're kind of running low on stuff.
Yeah, you know, it definitely catches up with you. You know, I mean, it can catch you off guard at any point in sprint car racing, you know, and that's one thing that, you know, with when the Outlaws come out west, you know, they have that same issue once they get away from, you know, their home base. They're out in California. Well, it's hard for them to get, you know, to do the same thing, you know. So you find a lot of friends and a lot of people that are able to fix a car for you or, anything like that. So, to be able to go back there, we have a lot of good sources and people there that we know and have known for years to help us out.
And it's always neat how the racing community comes together like that. And you did mention you were gonna do a full Australia tour. Now you're gonna just hit the Classic. Who are you running the Classic and your other races for?
We're gonna run for Sean Dyson out of Newcastle area. Newer team, they're coming up. It's a great opportunity, and then that's for the Classic and the week before the King's race and, a couple other races there. And then I'll go back at the end of the year, for the Cricky family car, Cricky Motorsports car again and run, Perth for 2 weekends in the Cricky Boy race. So we can hopefully, repeat that win like we did last year and hopefully, at least keep it in the Cricky family between me or Brooke.
And that's an event that you've really taken to heart, and it's from the outside looking in, it looks like a very unique event. If you had to describe that race to someone over here, how would you describe it to someone?
I think it would be close to a party for the fans. It's a race for the fans. It's a race to build more interest and to, keep in mind and memory, two great people in the Crickies. So it's almost like Oskaloosa, and Knoxville kind of mixed. They build it up. I mean, they got a great sound system in the infield. I mean, you can feel it in the car when you're idling around, So, it definitely is one of the races that, you could definitely want to see. If you took a trip over to Australia, that or the Classic, one or the other.
And with this Outlaw tour coming up, what equipment combination are you guys going to run for your Outlaw team? Do you know yet? Is that up in the air? If you guys pin down a chassis engine combination you're going to use for next year?
We're gonna stick with our same engine, chassis combination with the KPC chassis, Steve Kent chassis, Speedway engines out of Indianapolis. Weld wheels, Winners Performance, Vortex wings. I mean, there's so many great people that help out on this entire team that are, smaller sponsors that help out here and there. And Dennis does a lot of this on his own to make it to where he can enjoy every bit of it. I mean, there's a lot of people behind his business to make it work. And, we kind of stick with people that are close and willing to work with us in the process.
So staying with the same combination for next year. Personnel-wise, how different does your team look with a full Outlaw effort versus the part-time effort? Did you guys have to add personnel, or are you keeping the same nucleus for the team together as well?
We kind of parted ways with Rob Hart there after the West Coast swing in California. And we actually hired Davey Jones, Bubby Jones' son, to come in and be crew chief this next year. And then we got John Sane and Brandon McMillan. I mean, they're great employees. Troy Welty, Todd Ventura. I mean, everybody that works under Dennis Roth or for Dennis Roth is treated like family. And, he's a great deal about the race team right now. And his main focus is, being able to go try to capture, a World of Outlaw title or possibly be in contention for it.
And when you go out on the road like that, you guys become like family. You're with each other all the time. And when you're with people that many hours, it can be difficult, maybe personalities clash and stuff. What do you think's key to making sure that everyone is able to stay rowing the boat in the same direction, so to speak, and still make this fun when it's such a grind throughout the whole year?
Alcohol. No. it's a little bit of it's a combination of everything. You got to kind of it is like a family. You have to give and take and be able to understand, the other guy, hey, he wants a little bit of personal time, go hang outside or go do this or go do that. Just try to communicate talk to everybody, you know, laugh, joke. I mean, you've been around me, you've seen me laugh and joke and be kind of goofy at times. So it definitely, you know, keeps it kind of real. And we just try to have fun. You know, that's the biggest key to it is, you know, we're getting an opportunity to do something, that is a lifetime goal of mine. And we're going to go in there, you know, full force, but yet we're going to try to keep the little bit of fun aspect to it to ensure that we do continue to be able to go through the year and not have the stress and pain and headache that a lot of teams do endure throughout the year.
Tim Kading joining us. And, Tim, it's great news to have you back on the World of Outlaw Tour. But one holiday question, because we are coming up on the holidays. What's your favorite holiday memory from the Christmas or New Year's season, maybe growing up as a kid? Do you have, like, a memorable Christmas or something that really stands out in your mind?
You know, probably be when we got little three-wheelers, little Trizinger three-wheelers. You know, we took them over to grandparents' house. They had a big park in the backyard, and riding them around, you know, just being kids, learning around, you know, learning how to ride them and trying not to crash. And, you know, the cops ended up showing up because the neighbors called the police, and the cop actually ended up getting stuck in the grass and, you know, tearing up the grass more than we did. So it was definitely a memorable Christmas, you know, a few years ago. We were probably about 7, 8, 9 years old, somewhere in there, so... It was just afterwards, so I think that was the better part.
If I know you guys, it probably took about 10 minutes for something to turn into a race, too, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, everything was a race growing up. You know, when you're in a racing family, that's how it happens.
Exactly. Well, Tim, congratulations on being back out on the tour next year. Look forward to seeing you out here on the road, and safe travels, and have a great holiday season.
Thank you, you too, and wish everybody a happy holiday season, and be safe, and designated driver.
All righty. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Tim Kading, everybody. It's good to have Tim back on the tour again next year. It's going to be great to have him involved with the World of Outlaws full-time, not just in a part-time role. And the World of Outlaws are becoming a really interesting thing to look at right now. The complexion of the touring teams is changing quite a bit, and it seems like we're seeing a little bit of rebound. Tim Kading coming back on for Roth Motorsports for next year. Full time. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back a little later in the show with Lou Ciccone Jr., who is going to be driving Tony Stewart's midget at the Rumble in the Expo coming up in December, and that's going to be really interesting. Lou is the last guy to beat Tony when he was actually running at the finish at Fort Wayne, and fortunately Tony's just going to be there in a celebratory capacity, but his car will be there with Ciccone driving. We'll talk about that, and with Lou, this will be the first time we've had him on the show. I'm sure we're going to have plenty to talk about. So, Lou Ciccone Jr., after the break, you're listening to TJ Slideways Live.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at RocketHeaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air. As Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth, watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpax Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
In a holiday mood here on TJ Slideways Live, Christmas just right around the corner, and one of the gifts that race fans are getting this year for Christmas is the return of Lou Ciccone Jr. to the Rumble in the Expo. And Lou has taken time out of his schedule to join us, and Lou, first of all, I want to say among Midwest fans, it's going to be great to have you back at the Rumble this year.
I'm happy to be back. It's been a while. I've been telling Tony Polhorse I was coming back, and yeah, I just got lucky, and I got a ride for this race, and I'll be there.
And it's a pretty good ride, I'd say. And it's done pretty well. And you're the only guy that's actually finished ahead of that car with it running the past several years.
That's true, but you know, it was more of a lucky issue. I got out in front and just you know, was hard at it until a checkered flag fell. It was a 60 lap race. They had a yellow on lap 10. From lap 10 to lap 60 was all green, so he never had a shot at me, luckily. So I ran as far as I could.
And when did conversation get serious about you running the car for Tony over at Fort Wayne this year?
Honestly, it was all done through text, and we really never even spoke about it yet. It was all done through text, and I've been in contact with his crew chiefs and stuff like that, and I haven't spoke to him yet.
Well, I guess it doesn't matter how it's get done. You know, 21st century ride hunting with Lou Ciccone Jr. Picking up the ride via text for the Rumble and the Expo. And we're talking off the air. You're one of the people that does more indoor racing than just about anybody I know, whether it's TQs and mini sprints and midgets and all kinds of stuff. What is so? What makes the indoor racing for you so enjoyable?
Back in '84. We first started indoor racing. Well, I shouldn't say that. When I was a baby, we used to race in Atlantic City back in through the 70s. And right when I got to be about 16 years old, they shut that race down. So from the 70s until 1984, there was no indoor racing. And they started racing in Niagara Falls in 84, and my father and I started racing there. And we raced there, I think, till 94. And then that casino got bought, the building got bought by a casino, is now a casino, and we haven't raced there since. So then the Atlantic City came up, I think that's been like the last 10 years, and since then, you know, we raced again, but racing indoors is very hard and very difficult, and a lot of people just don't have that knack because everything happens so fast and it's so intense that a lot of people can't process that fast, and they're not used to looking that far ahead go through the traffic and stuff like that. And to me, I thrive on it. I think it's an ADD issue.
Yeah, Lou Ciccone joining us. And you do a lot of the racing with the TQs. Of course, you'll be racing a full-size midget over at Fort Wayne. Mm-hmm. But do you think we'll ever see a time where we might see those East Coast TQs, maybe a handful of them come out, maybe to a Rumble in the Expo or something? Do you think that would fly out here?
Well, I've been asking Tony Barhorse to have the three-quarter midgets in the Rumble since 2006. And he hasn't one of them out there yet. I think it would be an awesome race. And you'll probably have probably close to 100 of them out there if he ever decides to do it.
Problem might be trying to find a place to stack them in that place with all the cars they have already.
That's what he said. He said he doesn't have a room.
Yeah. What's the difference of running that TQ car versus the full-size midget at Fort Wayne?
A three-quarter midget is probably a little bit more nimble, a little bit less powered, and probably a lot more racy. The full midgets have a hard time applying all the power and negotiating the corners because of their size and their weight, and they have such a massive amount of horsepower than a three-quarter midget. And the three-quarter midgets are actually a lot more offset than a full midget is, and I think the three-quarter midgets are narrower, which would provide actually a better race.
And one thing you've done at Fort Wayne, you've run some standard cars, but you've had a chance. You had your own Munchkin, and now you're going to run another Munchkin again. What is it like to drive that car? Because I grew up seeing that car race. I was fascinated by it when Mike was driving his original car. To get behind the wheel of that car, I mean, it's, you know, relatively the same as the original design. And what is that car like to drive? I mean, it looks like an incredible machine to actually wheel around a racetrack.
Actually, when they handle, they all feel the same. It doesn't matter what you're racing. And then again, when they don't handle, then they're all hard to tame. So, you know, it really doesn't feel anything different than any car you race. It's just that, you know, you have to make it you have to make it be able to negotiate the corners and accept the foul. You know, but at the actual feel, I mean, the only bad part of the feeling is that it's so tight quarters that, you know, you, it's very difficult to, you know, like you don't have any leg room and stuff like that. And it's very cramped compared to a three quarter, which you almost lay down in.
Lou Ciccone joining us, and you stay busy still during the summer racing too. You do super modifieds. I believe, didn't I see you racing a modified at one point this year as well?
Yeah, I raced a modified, a dirt modified. I ran a big block dirt modified, a small block dirt modified, an asphalt small block modified, super modified, a full midget, a three-quarter midget, and a micro all this year.
Yeah, you know, maybe someday you'll branch out a little bit this season, I guess.
I hear you.
Is that what keeps it interesting for you after all these years racing is doing the different classes and stuff and not doing the same thing week after week?
I think it's very important to do that to stay versatile. And it gives you a better feel for any race car, and I think it keeps you sharp. I think it's very essential to race as many types of different race cars as you can, whether it's winged or non-winged or asphalt or dirt. I think it's very important.
And what's your season looking like for next year? What does 2014 look like for Lou Ciccone Jr. after Fort Wayne?
Well, I'm going to race the three-quarter midgets indoors in Atlantic City and Trenton. Then I have a ride with the infamous Clyde Booth with his super modified, and I'm going to race. I bought a new Troyer dirt modified. I'm going to race on dirt more this summer than last summer.
In recent years, your racing has been very asphalt oriented, whether it was the midget or the three quarter midget or the super modified. So, what kind of triggered the return to the dirt modified? And obviously, if you got one, you must be enjoying it.
Well, I raced in my early years, like tons of dirt, and I won three championships in a primarily dirt-based sanctioning body called ARDC. And since then, I've went to the Supers, and I take my father with me every time I go racing. He's 87 now, and he lives for my race car. But the problem is he's hard to get around now because he can't walk too far because he has emphysema. So when I drive, the minimum distance per race is like 5 hour distance each way. And it's very difficult to get to move around. With the dirt modified, my racetracks are like three of them within an hour from my house. And it makes it much easier to, you know, race an hour each way than 5 hours each way.
I'm sure he appreciates that too. I know my dad and I still go racing together too quite a bit. So that's always quite a bit of fun. You know, and plus working out closer. How weird is it though to sleep in your own bed after the races at night?
I love to sleep in my own bed. It's like my home base. And when I sleep on the road, it's kind of difficult. For some reason, I can't shut down. You know, unless I'm in my home bed, my home base.
All right, Lou Ciccone Jr. keeping the motors running. So, you know, the Clyde Booth super modifieds deal was not one I was aware of. How did you get hooked up with that deal, and how many races are you and Clyde going to be doing together?
We are going to do well, I was fortunate enough to race for the Vic Miller super modified team this summer, and I was winning a championship with him, and he elected not to run a full season next year. And, he elected not to do any racing this year, and he's going to try and have his grandson race a limited small block super. So therefore, I was out of a ride. So then Clyde Booth called me and asked me to run the car, and I said, of course. I mean, I always wanted to race for him, and he's had some most successful supers that I've, you know, ever seen race. I've actually crewed my own car against his cars, and he's very fast. And hopefully, you know, he'll take a liking to me, and, you know, we'll be successful.
Well, it seems like a natural fit because you've kind of done March to the Bee of your own drum. You've always had different drining cars and stuff. So it seems like that that combination would fit together quite well. Is the classic part of that plan at Oswego, or are you guys going to stick to the winged races?
Just the winged races. Clyde Boost cars, independent front suspension, and Oswego doesn't allow independence anymore. So we won't be at Oswego unless it isn't a race.
All right, Lou Ciccone Jr. joining us. Well, Lou, it's going to be great to have you back out here at Rumble in the Expo with the holidays coming up. And great to hear that you're going to be doing a lot of racing again in 2014. And hopefully we get to see you for a lot of years to come.
Yeah, I hope so. But I appreciate you having me on the show, and thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Lou. Appreciate it. We'll see you at Fort Wayne.
You got it. Take care.
All right. Lou Ciccone Jr. making his first appearance on the show, and it's going to be great to have him in the Munchkin over at the Rumble and the Expo coming up at the end of December. And go to rumbleseries.com. There's all the information you need there for that cornucopia of racing. The snow has already started to fly here at the TJ Slideway Studios, so we're going to be working our way inside for a lot of racing this winter, kicking off with the Rumble and the Expo. We're going to take one more commercial break when we come back. We're going to wrap up the show. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air. As Must-See Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth, watch as the most daring legend books in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information. Welcome back to TJ Slideways Live here another holiday edition of the show winding down. And don't forget to get those Rumble Series tickets at RumbleSeries.com. Some great things coming up. PRI next week. A lot of people heading down to Indianapolis. If you're heading that way, please be safe. Winter weather's going to start kicking in. Hopefully we end up with good weather, though, for everyone coming to town with PRI returning to Indianapolis. We're going to talk more about that on next week's show. And then, like I said, we're going to do this right through the holidays. The way Christmas falls, we'll have shows every Monday, it looks like, through the rest of the year. So it should be a great time. And it's great doing this every Monday for you, everyone. So on behalf of everybody here at TJSlideways.com, and I'd like to thank Tim Kading and Lou Ciccone Jr. for taking time to join us on the show. And that's going to wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live. We'll see you here again next Monday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Thank you and good night.
Thank you for listening to this edition of TJ Slideways Live.